W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
This is a True Crime Today Dark Side Flashback.
The Aggressive Christian Mission Training Corps, abbreviated ACMTC, also known as the Holy Tribal Nation, the Free Love Ministries, or the Life Force Team, is a militaristic Christian fundamentalist new religious movement. The ministry, founded in 1981 by James and Deborah Green, sometimes collectively referred to as the Generals. James is often called General James and sometimes Jim. Deborah is referred to as General Deborah, formerly Lila. Still retains its military structure, partially based on the original pattern of the Salvation Army. In 2018, its leaders were sentenced to prolonged prison terms on charges of sexual abuse. Moving from its starting location in Sacramento, California, it's now settled east of the rural town of Fence Lake in Cibola County, New Mexico, 60 miles south of Gallup. The organization has been classified as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. In August of 2017, Deborah Green and her son-in-law, Peter Green, were arrested on charges of sexual abuse of children. Peter Green, a manager at the ministry's Fence Lake location, has been charged with 100 counts of criminal sexual penetration of a child, while Deborah Green faces charges of child abuse, neglect abuse, and criminal sexual penetration. Deborah Green's son, Joshua Green, was also arrested and charged with failure to register the birth of his son. Four other members of the ministry in New Mexico, Amos River, Victoria River, Ruth River, and Timothy River, were also arrested in August of 2017 on felony charges of failure to register the births of their 11 children. As of August 2017, the ACMTC is under investigation by the Children, Youth, and Families Department of New Mexico. In September 2018, Deborah Green was sentenced to 72 years in prison after being convicted of child rape, kidnapping, and child abuse. James Green pleaded no contest to child abuse charges in December of 2018 and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. So that's our introduction to these fine fellows, Jim and Deborah Green. And we're going to go into some more interesting facts and articles about them and dig deeper into their location and kind of their bizarre belief system. It's the Dark Side of Wikipedia. My name is Tony Bruschi. Sean is with us today. If you like our program and you want access to all of the advanced episodes, all commercial free, our final chapter segments, sign up to get it over at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Again, it's patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or our website, darksideofwiki.com. Click Become a Darksider and you'll get access there when you support the show at $5 a month and help keep us on the air. So I've been kind of in this cult kick lately. I've been watching a lot of documentaries on cults, and they're just so, as you know, I find them extremely fascinating of just how deeply strange they get and how wide of a net they're able to cast and have like branches here and branches there. And there's a lot of them that get like really militaristic with like uniforms and their rankings. It's like these people are almost playing cosplay, but with real weapons and real life consequences.
100, sexual assault charges or something collectively?
I believe it was it 100 or 1,000? It was high, and maybe it was 100.
I think it was 100. Now that's collectively throughout the entire run of this cult, or this is one person?
It's one person.
Holy hell! That's got to be some type of world record.
I don't know. I mean, I think we've had other people that we've talked about on the show who've beaten that disgusting mile marker.
What's very interesting in a cult from kind of the mile high view is you have such a disdain and disgusting feeling, or basically lack of intelligence, of how people could be almost soldier-like in listening to this one person that is a con artist. But the flip side of it, and it's very interesting in 2020, really kind of shed some spotlight on it, is we as humans want to be a part of an entity, whether that is a good group of friends, a good family, colleagues. You sit around the water cooler or stand around the water cooler and chat jokes in the morning. You want to feel included. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, even if you're a loner or you enjoy your alone time, over an amount of time, I feel silly even in saying it, but I don't see me being too much of a fool if I'm at that lonely of a point in life to join an organization that ultimately turns into a cult. I'd like to think that I wouldn't be brainwashed and to do some of the sick sadistic things, but I wouldn't. It's above a 0% chance of me ever becoming a part of a cult, and ultimately, holy shit, it turns into this entirely crazy operation. But I just think it's more of a wanting to be included.
Well, and the thing is, it depends on the cult too, because some, I get how people can get sucked into it that are otherwise very balanced individuals, where it's like, oh, a lot of them start with kind of like self-help things, and this is going to be positive for you here and there, and you don't really realize, you know, how deep this is going to go. Scientology kind of being one of them. I mean, now that everyone knows a lot of unless you're living under a rock, you really, it's hard to not, you know more of the deeper picture there. But prior to that, they come across on the surface, and your first many, 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 many interactions with them, very positive, very self-helpy, very caring. And then it gets fucking weird. But there's many like these guys where right off the bat, you walk into this place, they are fucking militaristic as hell. And you usually have one family member in the many cases here, where it's like, well, my mom or my dad really just thought this is the only way. And then the whole family gets dragged into it. And most of the people are not really, they're little kids. The spouse is very passive, and they're just, okay, you know, whatever. And then it turns into, well, I'm not going to leave my kids here with this crazy parent and these crazy people. So you stick around. And so I see how people get trapped into it in many ways. I guess it's more so what I get so intrigued by is the one who said this is a great idea. Not the ones who get entrapped because they're children or because they're a codependent spouse or things of that nature. It's the one that said, yeah, these people seem to know their shit. You know, they claim they're the new Messiah, and they're wearing, you know, these lovely fatigues that they put together with some scraps of fabric they got in the discount rack at Joann Fabrics. It's bizarre to me that someone could just do that when it's so raw. And it's like, look, we're everything that a cult represents right from day one. And you know it. Unless these people just, you know, they don't get at all what a cult is. And there's plenty of that out there, too. There's some other interesting points I want to talk about, especially with the extreme fundamentalist views. And there's such harsh view of the bad people in the world. Yet they are the people who end up practicing some of the worst things in the world. We'll talk about that in a little bit. First, let's continue in with another article on this group. Aggressive Christian Missions Training Corps. This is from the 1987 informative paper, Apologistics Resource Center. Aggressive Christianity began in 1981. It was known as the Free Love Ministries. Jim and Lila Green are the founders and heads of the organization. Their training center is located on 222 X Street in downtown Sacramento, California. Most of the people who belong to this group live in the training center. This, of course, was written when it was active. The communal type of arrangement consists of several adjacent houses, which the group purchased and renovated with funds partially, if not primarily, acquired from three art shops, which are staffed and run by people from within the group. Living conditions have been often fairly crowded and lacking in personal privacy. Several of the houses are even marked off with barrack signs, which can be clearly seen from the street. This is in keeping with the group's use of military uniforms and ranks. Jim and Lila Green started out as colonels that are now considered brigadier generals by their converts. From the outset, Jim Green espoused two clearly unbiblical teachings. One teaching was a belief that Christians could have demons living inside of them. This teaching, along with their highly visibly deliverance ministry, continues to be one of the main thrusts of their group. They base this teaching on several unique misinterpretations of Scripture. One concerns Genesis 3:14. They believe that when God told Satan, "On your belly shall you go and dust shall you eat," that the word dust meant mankind. In other words, man would become the proper food of Satan. The teaching that Christians can have demons in them is based squarely on Jim Green's heretical concept of human nature. In essence, he believes that man has no real nature of his own. According to this teaching, man possesses whether God's nature or Satan's, and while he does write about man's nature in Son of Dominion, Beast Inside, a pamphlet, he elsewhere excludes any specifically human nature. For example, in a letter, Jim Green writes, "It is demons that carry out Satan's work. Man is merely a vessel for which demons to work through. Men are used to express the works of Satan and God. This is explained more plainly in Son of Dominion, Curses of the Living Dead." Another pamphlet he wrote, "Through their disobedience, Adam and Eve, they accepted Satan's will and nature of death. Thus, in this false teaching, man is an empty vessel, either filled with demons or filled with God. Therefore, any sin a Christian is committed would have to be blamed on demons instead of the fallen, sinful nature of man. Chapter 7 of Romans is completely ignored, as well as many other important passages. The second unbiblical teaching the group started was the Manifest Sons of God teaching, also known as Dominion or Kingdom Now. As a result of this teaching, people committed to aggressive Christianity are encouraged to become part of the Man-Child Company, or the Overcomers. Like many other groups involved in this teaching, they believe that an elite group of people will move out of the church and overcome the enemies of Christ, including even death itself. This elite group will reach a point of sinless perfection through their total commitment to God, and they will function as a literal expression or extension of Christ on earth. This will include as yet unheard of miraculous power, as well as acts of judgment, such as calling down fire on God's enemies, who generally turn out to be those against the group. Consistent with their adherence to the Manifest Sons of God teaching, they also told a somewhat agnostic belief in their separate levels of Christianity. That is, they are a 30-fold Christian, 60-fold Christians, and 100-fold Christians, or alternatively, as one longtime member explained it, the 30-fold Christians are those who are merely saved, 60-fold Christians are those who speak in tongues and have baptism of the Holy Spirit, while 100-fold Christians are the overcomers, the Manifest Sons of God, and only those in this elite group are considered to be sons of God and the bride of Christ. Thus, the two distinctive and foundational teachings on which the group bases its ministry end up demolishing the free gift of God's grace to sinners and resulting in works, bondage, and spiritual pride. The first of these teachings denies the finished work of Christ is sending God the Holy Spirit to dwell in every born-again believer. The second not only denies the unique person of Christ and even the nature of God by confusing or fusing the creature with the Creator, but is also denies the biblical teaching of salvation. For those is only one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one common salvation. It is the gift of salvation plus nothing else which makes every born-again believer a son, an heir, and an overcomer, they say. For a while, the Greens and their followers were also very interested in the ministry of Franklin Hall, another Manifest Sons of God teacher, with many bizarre ideas, including some that are pantheistic. The Greens were especially interested in the fasts he encouraged, although they were already involved in long periods of fasting. Franklin Hall promotes some fasts lasting over 40 days. Both Lila Green and Mike Brandon of Aggressive Christianity wrote letters to Franklin Hall praising his work. Lila Green, for example, wrote, "We have just completed a 20-day without any food water fast and feel absolutely wonderful. We have all really benefited from the writings that you produce." And Mike Brandon writes, "I just received your booklet, Atomic Power with God Through Prayer and Fasting, and I must say this brings confirmation concerning the subject of fasting and prayer. Since my pastor received your book, our entire attitude towards fasting has changed. I leave for the Philippines to share the message of the man-child, God's army, who by fasting and prayer are going to move into the new realm of body-felt salvation." Jim Green also teaches as new revelations many doctrines which he has picked up from teachers such as Franklin Hall. Several other teachings, both agnostic and strange, have appeared over the years of Jim and Lila Green's ministry. Although Aggressive Christianity publishes study booklets which appear to be orthodox in their teachings, in a statement of faith which also appears orthodox, Brigadier General Green has not retracted any of his earlier false statements about the Trinity. On one tape, for instance, he states, "They saw the man Jesus walk up, and they saw Christ come out of that body and stand before them in all his radiance. They saw Christ for the first time. In all other times, they saw the man Jesus that walked with them down the shores of Galilee and wore a robe and sandals and got tired and ate food just like they did. But I tell you, things changed and they ascended upon that high mountain. They saw God revealed. They pulled back the fleshy man of Jesus and Christ, that anointed one. That shining brightness stood out and they saw him. In this teaching, the person of Christ is torn apart, or as in earlier teachings, Jesus the man just becomes a vessel for Christ. This is an ancient heresy, one at least as old as the warning in John 2:22. On another tape, his comments on the importance of the Trinity, a very basic biblical teaching about the nature of God, are very revealing. So long God's people have been fighting over doctrine. Will I believe God is one? And the other side, will I believe God is three? There's a great big battle going on. They're just killing one and another left and right because they think God is one or three. You know, I don't care if God is one, three, 16, or 20. God is still God, and God has a call for us. What difference does it make if he's one or if he's three? Let's just worship and praise him and serve him. Apart from the growing number of theological errors, aggressive Christianity has long possessed cultic sociological traits. That is, their treatment of members of the characteristic of a cult. For several years, they've isolated their members from friends and families. Their members work long hours and are encouraged to participate in unusually long fasts and are cut off from society in general. They are told that most other Christian churches are compromising or are part of Babylon. Most members feel that they leave this group or disobey its teachings would expose them to being demon-possessed or would, of course, eliminate their chances of being part of the overcomers. In fact, many feel that to leave would be securing their place and their soul in the dangers of hell. So they do a lot of stuff to make you feel really shitty, essentially. What I don't get about any of this when it comes to joining various religious organizations, and I'm not anti-religion in places where they're not fucking kids and hurting people. It's more so where do you draw the line here when the leaders start saying, "I got these messages directly from God, and now I'm a prophet, and I whatever I say must be true," because that seems to be the only way they can kind of get people to do some of the more extreme things, because there's not really necessarily the verbiage in the Bible or whatever they may be using to get people to do some of the crazy shit. So what do? You make your own little cliff notes or Mad Libs of the Bible, and you say, "Well, I got the message myself. It must be true." And you've deprived these people of food. You've deprived these people of outside contact. I guess eventually you get so broken down when Jim or Lila makes shit up and says, "It's from God." You're like, "Shit, that's great. Can I have a hot dog now? If you say you believe, yes, great. Here you go. Here's a Nathan's. Have a good day." I think that's probably part of how they deal with this shit.
So, you know, when you go to teaching school and they ask you, "So what subject do you want to teach?" And there's English and geometry and physics and science. And you are so not a math person, so you teach English. Geometry, algebra, that is a foreign language to you. Mm-hmm. This would be a situation where this is a foreign language to me. There is not even any comprehension. This is so far out there that Kool-Aid would need to be made for me to drink it to even understand the layers of cluster fuckness that is transpiring.
I was just getting so confused just reading that of here's what some believe and then here's what they say. And this, it's like, how do you, you just twist and twist and twist something that is already very difficult to understand and is completely open to interpretation and has been interpreted many, many ways through many different governments, through many different languages over the years. So you're already getting a somewhat already watered down version through whatever interpretation you're reading it out of. And then you're going to put your own twist on it, too. And then to say what I came up with here in Arizona in 19 whatever, that's the way. That's it. Let's hit up Joanne Fabrics and do they have one of those Halloween costumes that looks like Kim Jong-un? Yeah, give me one of those. And then let's do a different color, though. Let's make it a little more exotic. Yeah, that'd be great. That's it's just so bizarre to me. Another thing I don't understand is they have such harsh beliefs, such strong, I guess, convictions, you could say. At least that's what they seem to present as, like, it's our way or no way, and everything is for God, and we're going to be so strict. And okay, if that's, you're going to be super duper hardcore, okay, great. But, and then they look at the outside world as, you know, people are demons and people are possessed, yet they're fucking kids. Where does that enter the lexicon of, like, that's okay? That is, like, this is an okay thing to do. When I would, because if you're really hardcore on anything, if you're really hardcore on, like, your health, for example, like fitness and eating right, you're going to be super hardcore on that. And then if you're suddenly like, okay, I'm super hardcore on it and I believe in my diet and I can only eat this and that and I don't want to put bad things into my body, but every single day you're having like 8 Big Macs, like, then you're not super hardcore on your health if that's part of your mix of your diet. So how can you, in one sentence and to the rest of the world, be like, I'm doing this and I totally believe in that, and people who are eating that other shit are horrible people? Oh, wait. Yeah, I'll take a number one. Actually, give me 8 number ones and a diet Cokes on all of them, please. Okay, what was that? That's what we're kind of talking about here, but in a much more fucked up sense of what they represent and how they live their lives.
I am baffled. There are people that it's a whole lot easier to talk opposed to walk the walk. So it's a situation where it is so many layers of absolute what the fuckness.
Yeah.
That again, man, there's not many things that I don't have a view on or a take on, but this is next level. I'm gonna go, hey, we're having this recruiting meeting tonight. Would you like to be a part? I'm good. I'm just gonna keep on down the road, but you enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. I think at some point the only explanation is mental illness, disorders, because there isn't a whole lot of sense to be made of any of what the fuck they're doing. Let's continue into the story. As a result of their deliverance ministry, aggressive Christianity has returned to something akin to paganism by attempting to placate the demons they believe inhabit every object and person. Here we have a clear example of a false theological doctrine, namely that born-again Christian can have demons in them, which has led to isolation as well as great mental and emotional damage. People in the group are in bondage to the fear of demons, turning away both objects, such as letters sent to them in the mail, and other people in order to prevent themselves from being demon-possessed. Added to this paranoia is a new trend in which members actually change their names. This practice apparently symbolizes their new identities in the group and their total reunification of their past, while at the same time serving to further isolate them from their family members and friends by making contact virtually impossible. Including in this return to a more pagan worldview are several occultic ideas. One is the unbiblical idea of the soul tie, and the group collects and distributes long lists of them. A soul tie is any strong connection members may have with the people or objects which they are told must be broken in order to be free from demons and to truly follow Christ. Other occultic ideas are highlighted by the fact that aggressive Christianity provides information on how to send curses back on those who send them. But whether one is sending or returning curses, scripturally, the direction is irrelevant. It is the whole process which is occultic. The group is led a great deal by numerous prophecies given by Jim and Lila Green. Recently, the effort of this prophetic leading has been to further tear apart families, this time within their own training camp. At least three families have been destroyed by revelations to the effect that three of the women were putting their families above God. Therefore, the women were separated from their families. They were given terrible names such as forsaken and barren. Their children were expected to treat them as non-existent, and their husbands felt they must divorce them, which in fact two did. The women were given hard labor to perform, such as hauling heavy rocks in a wheelbarrow and sawing wood. A woman's husband would wake her at 3 o'clock in the morning so she could wash the group's vans. They were kept in a small shed without windows or heat, and sometimes they were confined there for up to 3 days. For several months, there was no way they could bathe or shower. They were fed peanut butter sandwiches or stale bread. The Greens told members of the group not to have any compassion on one of these women because Jesus did not have compassion for her. This woman was eventually cast out of the group and told she was going to hell. Ironically, those who consider themselves the most committed of Christians, the Greens and other leaders of aggressive Christianity, have become tormentors and persecutors of those who, after coming out of the group, have remained faithful to Christ and his teachings. It's interesting to know Christ's own words to his disciples: they will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but as hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God, and these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. So, yeah, interesting stuff. We're going to go into an article in just a moment where a mom wants her son's remains after the church camp martyrdom, and how fucked up things got within the group. In just a bit. Yes, remains is what I said, because yes, they were, I guess, you know, doing something, beating a demon out. I don't know what the fuck they thought they were doing, but it got rather dark.
I can't wait.
Are you without words?
Again, this whole, I'm accustomed to murderers and crime scenes and police tape. This would be more of an alt subcategory of Dark Side of Wikipedia that I'm just enjoying the show.
This is all that, but then you mix with, but it's fueled by fucked up religious belief.
You know, there are some topics similar to politics that if you don't have, it's not even if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Mm-hmm. If you have no fucking clue what you're talking about, don't say anything at all.
Sure, I get you.
And I quite honestly don't know what I'm talking about.
You got to watch more about cults. They'll just suck you right in.
Hey, you're on the cult kick, man. I got to get on the cult kick.
The cult kick, it's great. It's great. It is great viewing. If you just want to sit back and kind of mindlessly watch people and feel good about yourself, you like watch the fucking cult shows.
I just got done going down the rabbit hole of game shows circa 1992 to 1998. You were doing the cult kick. So if you want to talk about Funhouse and Win, Lose, or Draw and Hollywood Squares, oh, I am on it. I am ready to roll. You want to talk about cults? I'll get back to you Thursday.
I wonder if wouldn't it be great if it turned out that like, one of the
they're old, connected.
Yes.
The one-time game show hosts are now cult leaders. That and your 8-day forecast coming up.
That would be hilarious. Like, it turns out that Mark Summers was running a cult, based on slime.
Don't crush my childhood, man. Don't crush my childhood. Mark Summers could be my dad. Mark Summers could be my uncle, you know, the non-creepy uncle that you actually want to hang out with.
Sure.
Don't make me. Yeah, I don't want to see when he did that. What show was it on? Was it Food Network?
Yeah.
Or How It's Made, the Discovery. Anyways, what a fascinating fella. I don't want to think that he was up to no good.
How It's Made, Mark Summers. Yeah.
There you go.
That was a good, it was interesting. My aunt was one of the people in the background. My aunt Chris, who you know, she was
in Colorado.
Yep, in one of the booths in the back on one of those episodes of How It's Made or whatever.
Go ahead. Did they say, okay, act really excited or really happy when Mark tells you the main ingredients and you overhear it from a booth far away.
They had to pretend they were just like talking and really enjoying their time in the booth the whole time. And because I think he lives out there and I think they filmed it in Denver. So she was just one of those like, hey, who wants to be a cast? And she's like, this should be fun. I like that show. I had Mark on my show back in that time period. It was like early 2000s. And I got to talk to him about all my love of Double Dare and how I would play Double Dare with my cat in the backyard because I had no brothers or sisters. And it was a fun conversation.
You being able to talk to Mark Summers of a TV show that he hosted and your absolute love. There's somebody else listening to this right now that is having a yearning for joining a cult and or being the next leader of an even more fucked up operation that they will love equally to your interview with Mark Summers. And to that person, I mean, you're pretty fucked up, man. But good luck on your venture.
I wonder if I have that interview readily available. I don't know.
And if you do, well, that's even more impressive.
Because I never delete anything in my archive of stuff. Let me go to my Google Drive real quick and see if I can find it before we move into our next part. Somehow we ended up talking about Mark Summers while talking about cults, because that's the next logical thing on this show.
So those of you that have said, boy, Tony and Sean, they really go random. Yep, this is your proof.
Mark. Yeah, it's not popping up in a search result. Anyway, I'll try and find it at some point. But yeah, it was an interesting one. He was like promoting, I think, like the next Food Network star or something back then. Anyway, let's in our next chapter, we're going to dig even deeper into this crazy camp of Jim.
How can we get even deeper?
Well, we're going to talk about how someone died within their care. So it goes deeper. And we'll find out just how dark it gets in the final chapter. If you want to hear that, become a Dark Sider, that's a supporter of the program, go to patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. $5 a month will get you access to all of our advanced episodes. Plenty more you can binge away on. Literally months worth, just many, many, many episodes right there for you. All commercial free. All our final chapters, it's all there. That's how we keep this show supported and on the air. So if you like it, please do consider signing up and becoming a Dark Sider. Sean and myself will see you on the final chapter of the Jim and Deborah Green story, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
This is next chapter that we're going to jump into is an article titled Mom Wants Her Son's Remains After Church Camp Martyrdom. It's from the Sacramento Bee from July of 1987 and written by Nancy Weaver. It's been about 10 months since Brad Rankin of Sacramento was buried in a grave in Africa near the religious outpost he helped build in Malawi. I'm sure I said it wrong. Stricken with malaria. Thank you. Stricken with malaria, the 29-year-old convert died 2 days before he was to return home. But his death has not ended his family struggle to deal with his beliefs as a member of the Aggressive Christianity Mission Training Corps. Family members say they don't want his death used as propaganda for the group, also known as Free Love Ministries, or his grave to be a monument to beliefs they view as hateful. The ministry planned his funeral and buried him in the city of Zambia. A member of the American consulate said it was a well-attended funeral. The head of the ministry told the family that the training camp will be named in his honor, but none of that matters to his family. They spent much of the past year trying to get his body exhumed and brought back to Sacramento for burial. "I want him home," said his mother, Wanda, as her eyes filled with tears. Now arrangements are being made through the U.S. Department of State to have Rankin's body exhumed and brought home. Most of the details have been worked out, but the family is still arranging to pay the $2,000 fee. For 2 years before his death, Rankin was a member of the militaristic church with an estimated 25 to 50 believers living in barracks at 23rd and X Streets in Sacramento. The members wear uniforms and are given military rank in their spiritual warfare against the devil and everyday demons they define to include pride, homosexuality, and rock and roll music. The Rankins and other families say the church has turned their children against them because they don't share the same beliefs. Several parents picketed the church in March. Jim and Lila Green, Brigadier Generals, who lead the ministry, failed to respond to a request to be for an interview. Wanda Rankin said she also has lost a daughter, Jackie Johnson, to the ministry. She said Johnson, who joined the group a couple of years before her brother, won't have anything to do with the family. She said the family has had only one glimpse of her since February. The ministry's publication called Battle Cry contained a special tribute to Rankin after his death on June 18, 1986. The cover showed a drawing of a soldier playing a bugle and written underneath, "Soldiers die in battle. We buried Lieutenant Rankin on the land where the training center is built, as the work there is in its foundation stages. There he lies as the living foundation of which God's work there will grow, the foundation of lying down our lives for the purposes of Christ," a captain said. The Rankins don't want anyone else following their son's example. They don't want Brad Rankin's death to be used to attract others to the church. They, church leaders, want him there as a martyr, said Karen Bashir, another sister. "All we want is to get him home, bury him, and get on with their lives. We haven't been able to do that." The family said they never agreed to have him buried in Africa. Rankin's mother didn't even know he was sick when her daughter called to say he was dead. Wanda Rankin said Jackie Johnson hurried to her to make a decision on the disposition of Rankin's body. She said she thought at first her son would want to be buried there, but before she made a decision, she said that the ministry buried her son. "The grief has not been suffered and forgotten. Ours is still pending," said Rankin's mother. At first, Rankin's family was not too disturbed by the newfound brand of Christianity. 3 years ago, he had a problem with alcohol and had been arrested twice for drinking and driving. In his testimony in a Battle Cry issue, Rankin described his lifestyle. "I was so wound up with drugs, alcohol, rock and roll music, and woman that I thought that's what life was all about, to have good times and to make the best of it here on earth." Rankin had the demons of alcohol pulled from him and became a true Christian, according to his co-religionists. "I always sit down and listen to him, she said, his mother. "He was talking about Satan. He always was talking about the devil." Bashir, who attended a service with her mother, said nothing was love, nothing was forgiveness, everything was sad, the end of the world was coming. A year ago, a judge in Contra Costa County refused one ministry member's request for a restraining order against his parents, who were trying to contact him. Alberto Munez complained to the judge about his parents' unwanted, unsolicited harassment. His parents said their attempts to contact him were prompted by legitimate concern and love for their son. Now let's jump into how the leader got 72 years in prison. This is an article from KROE in New Mexico from September 26 of 2018. Grants, New Mexico. The leader of a New Mexico Christian cult will spend the rest of her life behind bars for what she did to a child on her compound near Gallup. Deborah Green led a cult dubbed the Aggressive Christian Mission Training Corps. She called herself the General and dressed up like one. Green was sentenced Wednesday in district court in Grants Rights after one of the victims gave emotional testimony about what happened on the compound. "Emotionally, she broke me as a child to the point where I still today struggle with my own self-confidence, my self-esteem, my sense of worth," the victim said. The victims further spoke about what she described as years of torture by Green, that she continues to struggle recovering from physical and emotionally, adding she's had 11 struggles to help fix broken bones. "I'm reminded of how much I have to fight myself every day to not be sunken down into that low place again," the victim said. The victim asked District Court Judge James Sanchez to give 71-year-old Green the maximum sentence of 108 years. Instead, he gave Green 72 years for 3 counts of child rape, 2 counts of kidnapping, and 1 count of child abuse. At the start of the trial, it was revealed Green was accused of convincing her daughter to take a newborn baby from Uganda in the 1990s. The child was brought to the compound where it was physically and sexually abused. The judge had words of encouragement for the victim. A weaker person would not have survived. That means you can continue on being strong, Judge Sanchez said. The abuse came to light last year when authorities raided the compound in Fence Lake near Gallup, found 11 children, some of them were as young as 4 years old, being held against their will. Cibola County Sheriff's deputies found one child buried who had been dead at least 2 years. This was after a former member came forward claiming she endured years of sexual abuse by Green and Green's son-in-law, Peter Green. CYFD and the Cibola County Sheriff's confirmed the 11 children taken from the compound are still in CYFD custody. Green is still looking at another trial for different charges involving another victim. Given the long sentence she was given, the DA's office is still deciding if it will take the case to trial, which was set to begin Thursday. I think I would be really pissed if I was the second victim or a family member of that, and the district attorney is like, you know, she's already got 72 years. We're not going to, like, add anything extra to it. I think just, like, look, you fuckers haven't, like, rained down hell on these assholes for all these years. The least you can do is give me my moment in court to say, look, these crazy motherfuckers did this shit. They should publicly be known for doing this shit. Fuck, add on another 100 years. I don't care. You know, let's fucking execute her in jail by rats eating her alive. Something. But it would just be really disheartening to be like, well, you know, we already got her the best. She, you know, other people that she fucked with. I hope you can move on. And in some cases, I think maybe that might be more peaceful. It probably depends on the individual. But I'm much more justice oriented. And if somebody did that shit to me or my family, I'd be like, you're fucking, even if you are already down, I will fucking quash you more than you already are. If you're breathing, that is going to stop. It just if someone did that horrible shit to me or my family.
You know, if I'm looking for a pair of Nikes, Tony, I really enjoy a buy one, get one, a BOGO sale. If we're talking about multiple deaths here, I don't want my loved one who was viciously murdered or killed or anything bad that happens to them. I don't want them to be a throw-in. Yeah. Oh, we're going to prosecute you for this, and we'll just, you know, give you the other one. We're not gonna up that max prison time any more than we already have.
Yeah. I mean, for the amount of waste that we have in our court systems, I wouldn't view that one as waste. I mean, there's a lot of things where it's like, this is pointless. This is a frivolous lawsuit. There's so much fucking waste and so many things that could be tightened up. And then we'd look at some of these and it's like, no, there's an obvious one that, yes, she already has this, but we're just going to put it to the, no, this one at the very least needs to be held up as an example of, look, motherfuckers who want to start cults and are doing shit like this. Because maybe it will stop somebody somewhere. Because it's not like people like this are just few and far between. There are a shitload of cults out there that are active today that do not say they're cults, that are just waiting to make it onto the show once they start killing people, fucking kids, or whatever else they're doing that gets exposed. There's a never-ending feed of these crazy motherfuckers that are going to be out there. And if very crazy, harsh sentences are made of the ones that have already done their shit that we can't go back in time and stop, then hopefully that does a little bit of good. And maybe it'll stop the next crazy Jim and Deborah Green from going, we're going to have these beliefs here in our trailer in the outbacks of the countryside, and you and me and our dog are going to practice it with our rituals, but maybe we should hold off on buying the extra shed and inviting the neighbors down the road to come over to join in, because that could go wrong. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that people like that are live in much fear, though, either, and have the sense to say this is a bad idea.
What's quite interesting is living in communal complexes, for example, living in an apartment or a condo where you have neighbors feet away from you, you have no idea what they are into, what they've done. And when we hear stories like this, it makes me want to, I don't know, go make a farm in the middle of nowhere. So you're onto something when you chose to move to a map dot. I'd love to join you.
It makes, I mean, people like this, do they set out, do they initially think that it's going to go as dark as it gets? Do they set out with, you know, is that their goal? Brainwash these people so we can fuck with the kids? Or does that just kind of slowly, the insidiousness of it, does it just slowly leak in when they start to realize how much power that they have? And there is like that deviant somewhere in them that then it's like, well, if I can get away with this, I can get away with that. Or is that like ultimately like what they're working towards at the beginning? I don't know. I mean, I just, again, it's like, how do you wrap your mind around something that is insane?
Well, I think if you're going to start a cult and you have, clearly you have to be very motivated, driven, passionate. You have to be a recruiter. You have to do a lot of hard work to get it off the ground, per se. So I would like to think you get into it with a very high sense of get it done attitude, and then maybe you look to bust through another ceiling. Maybe you look for another challenge, and you got into it for a reason. But then, hey, let's kill. Yeah, come on.
Except it's really not. It's not like striving up. It's not like let's break this next glass ceiling. It's more like let's dig another tunnel into hell. Like let's beat the crust of the earth.
They are financially motivated, so they can build a bigger house. To some, they can build a bigger morgue.
God, it's just so fucked up.
I appreciate the drive and passion. Good for them. Because if they didn't have as much, we sure as fuck wouldn't be talking about them right now, would we?
And again, you kind of look at them and go, God, you know, quite a bit of success with getting that many people to go along with your crazy ass ideas. If you could do that with crazy ass ideas, imagine what you could have done with really good ideas and that same drive.
What's very interesting when people say that, yes, but it would never be. Because if they don't have an interest in becoming a physicist, or they don't have an interest in being a chemist, that drive and passion that they used for killing, it wouldn't exist. Yeah. They don't give a fuck. What I've noticed, and I would imagine you would agree, the most driven, passionate people, the fuel is the interest they have.
Yeah, that's true.
You can give 200% on something you love and not even look at something you don't, where there are some people who give maybe 60% in everything they do. Mm-hmm. Give so much to that one thing that you have the drive and passion fueled by the interest and love and curiosity, opposed to, I could give two craps about that. I don't care how driven or passionate I am about this. I'm not even going to waste a minute on that.
I agree. Yeah. Because we are both very driven people, and it's like, you're either 110% or like 10 miles an hour. Like,
it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
It absolutely is a blessing and a curse.
Like, I'll get through this. I really don't give a shit about this, but I'll move through this over here. But then it's something I'm driven on. It's like fucking pedal to the metal nonstop until I'm burned out.
And normal people that have very driven and passionate people in their lives, or when they first meet them, it's a little bit, who are you?
Yeah.
What medication have you forgotten to take for a few weeks?
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like a serial killer?
And that's a scary thing. If serial killer is your thing, people can do it quite well, as we've learned, if that's your thing. But if that's not, you know.
This has been a True Crime Today Dark Side Flashback. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our new episodes every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Breaking news stories and daily brief.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
From True.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan. Number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Crime Today.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.